Good Monday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The Canadian Auto Workers and General Motors Canada have resolved the outsourcing issue at the core of the nearly three-week-old strike that has idled thousands of workers in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. And CAW Chief Buzz Hargrove says he expects a tentative deal by the union's noon deadline.
We have an understanding, and we have to get the language. And as everyone knows, understandings and the language sometimes can be worlds apart, but we certainly have a good understanding that should resolve this issue.
But he's not ruling out a last-minute monkey wrench.
We're close enough to get there, and we're far enough apart to fall apart.
GM Canada spokesman Stu Lowe is guardedly optimistic.
There's still a huge amount of work to get done, but a lot of energy from both sides being put into getting the issues resolved, and at this point in time, we think it can be done.
Buyers of GM cars will be able to get the exact model they want in less than 24 hours under the automaker's new distribution plan. The Wall Street Journal reports GM will soon keep all brands of its cars and light trucks at regional distribution centers rather than parked on dealer lots at a cost saving of up to 30%. There's a rosy future for job seekers. The American Management Association's annual survey of employers shows 46% plan to end jobs soon, the brightest outlook in a decade. The United States is putting unusual pressure on Israel, reportedly threatening to walk out of Israeli-Palestinian peace talks unless there is immediate progress. The ultimatum was delivered by U.S. Envoy Dennis Ross as the two sides entered a third week of stalemated talks on Israeli redeployment from Hebron. During a break in the talks, Ross tried to sound upbeat.
I believe we have made progress. We still have work to do. There still are differences. What I am convinced of is that this is a very serious process. We're going to keep working at it.
Israeli tax officials have raided a high-tech firm owned by media magnate Rupert Murdoch, seizing files and computer data in a $150 million tax fraud investigation. Robert Berger has more.
Israeli tax investigators are continuing to question individuals they say are connected to the biggest case of tax evasion in Israel's history. Tax authorities say Murdoch's Jerusalem-based company developed sophisticated technology and smuggled it abroad. The authorities have seized computers, computer programs, and thousands of documents from the company. Murdoch says the allegations are baseless.
The Murdoch company develops and markets encryption systems for television broadcasters. With 15 campaign days left, President Clinton is playing the clock, and Republican Bob Dole is again reassessing strategy. White House correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage.
Singer Harry Belafonte set a calypso beat for the Clinton campaign last night at a Democratic fundraiser in New York. With 2 weeks and one day-o left before Election Day, the president is worried that his lead in the polls will lead his supporters to become complacent.
The big danger in this election is that people won't show up who have the most riding on the outcome of it.
The president has made his concern part of his stump speech, which today he takes to an Ohio community college, where he'll produce figures to show his direct student loan program, which Bob Dole voted against, has saved the taxpayers big bucks. Mark Doler, CBS News, with the Clinton campaign in Cleveland.
I'm Lisa Meyer with the Dole campaign in Washington.
We're in the home stretch. Things are beginning to happen. We're going to carry the state of Delaware on November 5.
Bob Dole went into friendly territory, staunchly Republican territory, to make that pledge. The rally at Wilmington College capped a weekend in which Dole repeatedly was preaching to voters in states already predisposed to back his candidacy. Campaign manager Scott Reed calls it rousing the base. Dole calls it getting out the vote.
Go to work the next 16 days. We need your help. We need to carry this state and surrounding states.
Dole gets back on the bus today to begin a two-day road trip through Michigan. Lisa Meyer, CBS News, with the Dole campaign in Washington.
A man who had threatened to blow up the Bonneville Dam in Washington State was shot dead last night after showing up there with a weapon. FBI Special Agent Ray Lauer.
The FBI and some other law enforcement agencies responded, and they were confronted by a person with a rifle. There was a shooting that occurred. And that person has subsequently died.
The gunman was not identified. The United States reportedly favors a delay in next month's municipal elections in Bosnia, already postponed once. The New York Times reports that could extend the U.S. troop commitment into next spring. The first returns in Nicaragua's presidential election show the right in the lead and trouble for a former Sandinista leader. Correspondent Art Rascón is covering.
With barely 7% of the vote counted, Nicaragua's right-wing candidate, Arnaldo Alemán, is already claiming victory. He has garnered 48% of the vote so far. Daniel Ortega, the former dictator and reformed Sandinista, has 38% of the vote. Alemán's early lead may in part be due to the ballots being counted from the capital city of Managua, where most of Alemán's support comes from. Ortega's support comes from the barrios, the poverty-stricken areas outside of the city. Ballots from those areas and most of the hillside country won't be coming in until later today. In any event, Alemán or Ortega must win at least 45% of the vote, or there will be a runoff election next month. Art Rascone, CBS News, Managua, Nicaragua.
Japan's pro-business Liberal Democratic Party has made a dramatic comeback in weekend elections, and as Barry Peterson tells us, voters sent a message to Washington.
There was good news and bad news for America as Japan counted the votes from yesterday's election. In Okinawa, Communist Party candidates opposed the U.S. bases there, saying America's time in Japan had passed. Instead, voters passed on the communist. None of their Okinawa candidates won. But the overall result wasn't so good. The U.S. is pushing Japan to reform its government and make changes to open markets to more U.S. goods. Instead, Japanese voters supported more conservative parties and thus sent a message, reform and change, not this time around. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Tokyo.
In a ruling just issued, the U.S. Supreme Court has upheld President Clinton's controversial don't ask, don't tell policy on gays in the military. The action involves a U.S. Navy lieutenant dismissed from the service in 1994. A quarter of a million Hutu refugees are on the run in eastern Zaire after fighting between government troops and rebels. It's a humanitarian nightmare that the U.N. can do little about because, as spokesman Fernando Del Mondo tells us, their people are pinned down too.
Our own staff have not been able to do very much. They're trapped In our office in Uvira, and they have not been able to do a lot to help the refugees because of the fighting.
Rwanda denies sending troops into Zaire. The Atlanta Braves crushed the New York Yankees 12-1 in the rain-delayed World Series opener. Braves manager Bobby Cox credited the big bat of 19-year-old Andrew Jones, who scored two homers.
Kid, he learns things very quickly. He can look at pitches and sometimes the pitchers aren't exactly setting him up. He's setting them up.
Yankee skipper Joe Torre had no excuses.
We were just overwhelmed tonight with the way they whacked the ball around, and we didn't do our job.
New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani gave the loss a politician's spin.
My assessment of the game is that we lulled them into self-confidence.
Game two comes tonight in New York. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are ahead 4.47. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Bill Lynch, CBS News.